Well, the bag of bones is up here. Been resurrected through Jesus Christ. Amen? Anybody else with me? Jesus gives us life. He lifts us up. He makes us new creatures to serve Him, to honor Him, to be with Him in this world. We may end up going to this microphone because I've been having trouble this morning with this. Anyway, good morning. It's good to see all of you. Haven't had a chance to talk with all of you, but here we are, joined together to worship Jesus, to study the Scripture, to celebrate Jesus, to celebrate life that He gives to us. You know, as Americans, we take pride in being a nation that stands for freedom. We are the land of the free, right? We're all free, aren't we? We tell ourselves that. Adults choose whether or not they're going to continue their education after high school, when they choose where they're going to work, how they're going to spend their money, where to live, what mode of transportation to use, and more. You choose what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. I didn't tell you what to wear this morning, did I? Did somebody else tell you what to wear this morning? Well, in a few cases, maybe. Sometimes I need help. But most of the time we make our own choices, what we're going to do, where we're going to shop, where we're going to travel. And the list just goes on and on. And this morning, whether or not we're going to come to church. You made a choice. I didn't come out and force you. I hope you didn't feel like I forced you, that you came on your own free will, of your own choice. You know, October the 7th flew by, and for most people, nothing significant occurred. But 95 people are still held. They've been held for over a year now as captives, alive, dead. We're not sure on some of them. By the radical Muslim group Hamas, their freedom, including some fellow United States of America citizens, are not free. And a contentious debate persists as to how our government should be helping to free them. But the fact is, we as Christians, we need to be praying for them. And not just them alone, there's other people who are suffering. And we need to keep them in prayer because they are not free. They've been entrapped with something, someone. Yes, the United States of America provides many freedoms, including social, financial, business, political, and more, including religious freedoms. But are we really free? Are you free? Most people engaging in their worldly freedoms unwittingly enslave themselves. We get these little things called credit cards. Or we go to the store and we see something there and we put it on layaway and neglect something else in the process of meeting our cravings. Overspending leads to subjection to lenders. Satisfying our desires leads to abusing our bodies with sickness, disease, obesity, misery, enslavement to medication, surgery, treatments, and I mean, the list just keeps going. But even worse, we are chained to death. The Bible tells us that due to our ancestors' choice, Adam and Eve, disobeying God, we are all cursed to walk the path of this world as slaves to sin and death unless we accept the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. God sent His Son to set us free from this condemnation. We still have to pay the price unless Jesus comes back first, but we are not enslaved to the consequences of sin any longer if we accept Jesus. Isn't that good news? That is good news. Those who obey the Savior are set free to walk in a new path. And so the challenge for us today is to evaluate our own lives. Are we walking with Jesus in His freedom, or are we still doing our own thing and finding that we are subject to the consequences of sin leading to death forever? Before we go on, let's ask God to guide our hearts and minds. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for the privilege of coming. Thank you for the privilege of studying your word, opening up the scriptures, the freedom to do so that we have enjoyed in this land. Thank you for brothers and sisters of faith. Help us to encourage one another. We thank you for those who have come that are maybe still struggling with what to do with their lives. We pray that they will fully surrender to Jesus. And Father, help us and guide us in our relationships with those outside of the church, that we can encourage them to come and find your freedom. But Father, as we look over these coming verses, just a small portion of your holy word, help us to learn some lessons to grow in faith, understanding, and devotion to you through Jesus. And we pray in our Lord's name. Amen. Our text this morning is John verse 31 through 36, chapter 8, verse 31 through 36. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Now, there's quite a bit more that Jesus had to say, but we're going to focus in on those verses. At the very beginning of this, I first want you to note that the Lord's audience refuses to acknowledge their own condition of sin and their national plight. Israel was occupied by the Romans. They were not free, and yet they claim, "We're not enslaved to anybody." Open up your eyes. Look around you. Why are you denying the facts? Why are you denying the condition? They were walking in their own deception. They should have known the Psalms. Psalms chapter 14 and Psalm 53 both open up with verses that there is none righteous. We are all corrupt. We are all outside of God's will. And there's nobody who is not a slave to sin. And here comes Jesus, says, "I will set you free." All people die. And on top of that, the Jews at that time were surrounded by the Roman army. That army was in their land and was still keeping them from doing what they pleased. They were taxed to no end. They were subject to any time a Roman told them to do something, they had to immediately obey. And yet Jesus says he came to change all of that, to give them freedom. How can Jesus do that? Well, let's consider that. Looking at that, the first point I have here is that Jesus gives people freedom from guilt. Jesus gives people freedom from guilt. In the review of this chapter, if you remember back, turn back a page if your Bible is split through pages. At the very beginning of this chapter was where the mob drug the woman caught in adultery before Jesus to try to have her judged. Jesus forced those Jews to examine their own conscience in the process. He said, okay, you who are without sin, go ahead and throw the first stone. They had to do a self-evaluation. And what did they find out? None of them could throw the first stone. They had guilt in their own life they needed to deal with. The angry accusers were forced to recognize their personal sin. And also the woman was set free to go sin no more. She was on death's door. And Jesus set her free from that guilt. He had every right to stone her. He was perfect, and yet he did not. And he set her free from her guilt to go and stop doing what was wrong. God is watching. And all those people in that crowd were forced to examine themselves instead of to look down the long nose and say, oh, look what they're doing. Now it's time to look at, what am I doing that pleases God? The atheist has no one to whom he can say, I'm sorry. What a sad commentary. What do you do when you don't have a God to turn to and ask for help and forgiveness? Who do you turn to? Do you turn to a rock? Do you turn to yourself that is already sunk? The fact is that there is a God who gave us a conscience through which His Spirit speaks to our hearts. The Bible is very clear that God's message is for all people, even those who deny Him. And the Bible shows us that Jesus was God in the flesh and that He paid for all sin. He overcame the power of sin and corruption. And He gives the atheist hope if they would just move from disbelief and rejection to belief and acceptance of the Savior who came into this world. All who return to God's ways find that they are given hope and life and purpose. All who return to God's ways find that they are good. Those ways are good for everyone. Jesus never excused sin, nor did He ever condone sin. The Pharisees were sticklers about obeying the law. They were extremists, wanting you to do everything exactly as they said. But in spite of all of their accusations against Jesus, all the charges that they raised against Jesus, none of them could be proven. Jesus was pure. Jesus was innocent. However, an interesting thing is that the enemies broke the law, their own law, trying to get Jesus condemned. They demanded Jesus to identify Himself. Now, did Jesus have to answer that question? Under the law, he didn't have to. Testimony was supposed to be brought from those around Him. But Jesus gave His life by answering their question. He answered that He is God. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of glory. Jesus gave them the ammunition to condemn Himself. Jesus loved us enough to give Himself. The fourth point there is that Jesus forgave sin and gives us His power to overcome that sin. We see it referred to back in verse 11 in the case of the woman caught in adultery. Jesus overcame all of the temptations that we face, so He understands our battles. That is why He gives His words to guide us to divine truth. Verse 31 and 32, Jesus says, "Listen to me, follow my words, and you will be set free." He not only gives us His words, He also gives us His Holy Spirit to help us do the will of God, God living in us. We have hope. We are giving, have been given freedom from our guilt through Jesus Christ. Jesus does something else. Jesus gives people freedom from their loneliness. You know, God created people in His image, which includes the desire to be united with others of the same nature. But that unity was broken when Adam and Eve chose to sin. Back there in the Garden of Eden, they were separated. God could no longer walk with the people. He left them, kicked them out of the garden. They had to go out on their own. And we've been in that plight ever since. Jesus restored the full joy of being united with God. Chapter 15, verse 11, kind of gives us a picture of that. We see in the lives of the disciples that they stayed with Jesus about 3.5 years. Whenever Jesus came into a town, what happened? All the peoples heard that Jesus was coming, and they would flock to go see where Jesus was and to spend time with Him, sometimes spending days with Him, following Him around, listening to His teachings, watching His action of performing miracles, and so on. But Jesus stated that He was leaving to go to a place in verse 21. He's leaving. He's going. Well, can you imagine being the enemies of Jesus? They were excited. They were delighted that Jesus is finally leaving. He's getting out of their hair. He's not going to be a problem for them anymore. Right? That was the attitude of the enemies. But they were also confused. Where are you going to go? Are you going off far, far away across the oceans? Where are you going? Now, Jesus' statement also disturbed His disciples. Wouldn't it be disturbing? You've committed your life. Jesus said, come follow Me. And so you gave up everything. You left your business behind and you're following Jesus and you're walking with Him. And all of a sudden He says, I'm leaving you. What? Where are you going? I'm following you. What am I going to do? But He gave them hope. He didn't leave them high and dry. He told them He had a purpose for them in the chapters to come, in the days to come. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to help the disciples. John chapter 14 through 16, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit extensively. He explained this promise further. It was promised in the Old Testament, and Jesus said it's about ready to happen. The Spirit is about ready to come. The power of God is about ready to come on you and to be with you, God with you. He would comfort the people. He would guide the people. He would empower the disciples to serve God in righteousness. The Spirit of God would help them spread the gospel to the rest of the world. Wow, what a feat. Have you seen how big Israel is compared to the rest of the world? And Jesus said, you're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's big enough to say, hey, we need to take the gospel into the state of New Mexico, to every city, to every town. Are we doing a very good job with that? There's a lot of towns in New Mexico, but not as many as in some places. Missouri has a little town about every 5 miles. Sometimes every 4 miles. It's a big task. And yet Jesus said, don't worry, I'll be with you. I'm sending My Spirit to be with you. And He will give you the power. He'll give you the help. Jesus promised to return to take the disciples away out of this world to a new home that He was preparing. A home that was in the very presence of God. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 is his favorite passage. Our hope is sure. We don't have to worry. Jesus is coming back for His people. Several of His parables also referred to the eternal home with God, where God would dwell with His people. People who followed Jesus. People like you and me. If we walk with Jesus, stick with Him, be faithful. Jesus promised to always be with His followers. An interesting statement. Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered in My name, what? I will be in your midst. As He left the disciples floating into the air, His last statement, Matthew 28:20, and lo, I am with you once in a while. No, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus is here in this room right now. Which one of you is He sitting next to? All of you. His Spirit is living in you. All of you who have given your life to Jesus. And God is watching over all of you. We have God with us. We have nothing to fear when we walk with Jesus. We are a free people in spite of our circumstances around us when we walk with Jesus. We have God, the Almighty, with us. God has adopted us as His children when we submit ourselves to be a servant of Jesus. God fights for us. God protects us. God helps us through our trials. The blessings of God continue to pour out upon all of His people who put their full trust in Jesus Christ. God is with us still. Don't forget, God is with you. Jesus gives people freedom from despair. Despite their bravado in verse 33 saying that they weren't servants of anybody, the enemies of Jesus had a sense of national despair. The glory days of King David and King Solomon had been gone for over 8 centuries. The Babylonians had come, the Persians had come, the Greeks had come, and now the Romans were right there planted in their neighborhood, in their backyard, in their house in some cases. Rome's iron fist was heavy on the people, but Jesus showed His disciples how to live freely even when they were under others' control. Jesus taught that serving others' needs pleased God and fulfilled the law of, what's the second greatest command? Love your neighbor as yourself. Serving people, helping them, giving more than what you're asked, seeing the need before you have to be asked. Serving others, including forgiveness. In John chapter 9, it opens with a story of a blind man filled with despair. The Lord corrected the false assumption of His disciples. They asked, who sinned? Was it the parents? Somebody else? Was it that person? Jesus corrected all those false assumptions as well as turning around and healing the blind man. The gift of sight set the man free from his despair of wandering in darkness. Brother Bob would love that, I'm sure. Amen. Someday, God will give him perfect sight. I won't have to wear trifocals anymore. God will make us perfect in His time. But Jesus kind of gave a taste to this blind man of what God can do. The gift of sight set him free. He was not under God's curse, as everybody had surmised. He was used by God for glorifying what God is able to do. Jesus used His affliction to show the power of God and the love of God. Jesus Christ is the only true and complete source of freedom. Verse 31b, the second part of verse 31 into verse 32 says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Know the truth, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. All humanity is still a slave to sin unless and until you give your life to Jesus Christ. Our nation has been known for its greatness, and it is now in this power struggle over who's going to lead. The bones of contention include the decay of our nation, the rubble of our society, along with the rejection of God's truths. Who will hold up God's truths? Politicians are claiming they can repair all the damages. But if they do not include God, and if they do not include Jesus Christ in their plan, they will fail. How much authority does Jesus have? All authority. And if we don't submit to Him, we're sunk. We're lost. Jesus has commissioned you and me, each one of us, to hold up His truth as the light for our nation, for our family, for ourselves, also for the whole world. And we have a great responsibility. Will we hold up the Word of God as priority? As American citizens, we have been very privileged, very blessed by God. Those blessings came because of our founding fathers. They truly believed in God we trust. Do we really trust in God today? Fellow Christians, we need to reaffirm that Jesus Christ holds all authority. True freedom only comes when we follow Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Thank you, Father, for love, for grace and mercy. Thank you for your Son who sets us free, the only one who can set us free. I pray that we, as your people, will walk in your truths and uphold your truths. We pray for our national leaders as well as our local leaders that they will turn to you and seek your will and your way. Guide us, direct us, that we will be light and life to those around us. Not ours, but your light and life. Use us according to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.